listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche. We have a Kodiak Area Native Association show for you guys today, and we have a couple of employees with us. It's Stephanie Jenkins, who coordinates WIC, and we'll explain what that is in a second. And then we also have Brian Fraley, who's the communications coordinator. He is here to help us communicate. So why don't you guys introduce what you do in with CANA? So why don't you reintroduce yourself, Brian? Because you were here a couple of weeks ago. It could have been last week, but you can just reintroduce.
It's all a blur.
Yeah.
I was here with Matthew and Jason a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Explore the Rock and our Tuesday afternoon activities for the preventions team. Mm-hmm. And I work with them and a lot of the other departments at CANA to help them get their different programming out into the public, let everybody know what's going on. We have a lot of community programming and events that people want to know about. So
yeah, and a lot, just like so much that we need two shows to even talk
exactly,
about. Like,
I know.
Separate.
We could seriously come every week and have the CANA hour. There's a lot for all age groups, demographics, and so.
Yeah, and one of them, one of the services you guys offer is WIC. Could you explain what that is, Stephanie?
Sure. So I'm the WIC coordinator, so I run the WIC program. And WIC is a supplemental nutrition program for low-income families, and we serve pregnant and breastfeeding moms and then children up to the age of 5. And some of the benefits of the program are nutrition education, breastfeeding education and support, checks to use at the grocery store for healthy foods, and then referrals to other social services around town.
Okay, and so you also go out to do outreach with the villages, right?
Yes. So the CANA WIC program serves the entire island of Kodiak. So we serve people in town as well as all 6 villages. So I try to make it out to each of the villages once a quarter probably to meet with those WIC families.
Is that an experience that is unique for you? Because not every place has a profession where you're flown out to a village or flown out regularly. Because I know that you go on many trips and you pack your lunch boxes for these trips and you plan for them pretty frequently. So is that something that you ever had to do or got to do before you came here?
No. To my knowledge, the Alaska WIC program is the only WIC program that has off-the-road WIC participants, so that we either have to travel by boat or by plane to serve these families. So I enjoy it. I think that it's something unique and that you kind of have to tailor the education and your style of counseling as well as your demeanor to each particular village. And it's something that you just kind of learn as you go.
So you say you tailor your demeanor towards the different villages. How so?
Well, being someone who's not originally from Kodiak, I always think it's important to get to know the people of the community and to get to know their characteristics of each village and just be able to relate to those people as best as possible. So I just always want to make sure that I go in a respectable, friendly way.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when you're going into any other culture or any other city, you have to get used to that particular town or that particular neighborhood and see what they're used to day by day and see how you can kind of fit into that.
Yes.
Yeah. And so when you go out to the villages, is there a routine for what you guys offer as part of WIC?
Well, so the families on WIC in the villages here, at least on the Kodiak Island, they receive boxes of food every month. So instead of using their WIC benefits at the grocery store here in town, they receive a box every month. And so that makes it easy because not all of the village families are able to get into town to go to the grocery store. So they receive boxes, and we have the WIC appointments at the Village Health Center there in each village. So it's, you know, the appointments are very similar to how we would do them here in town. Just the only difference is at the end of things, I get on a plane and come back to town.
If you're lucky.
If I'm lucky.
Have you ever gotten stuck in one of the villages due to weather?
Oh my goodness, yes. I was out in Larson Bay last year, and we were weathered in for 3 days.
Wow.
And we ran out of food day two. So it was quite an experience. But luckily, the health clinic had quite a variety of VHS shows. Mm-hmm. So we got to watch all of the Disney videos.
Oh, my.
Yes, yes. So such a different experience.
When you ran out of food, what did you eat?
Well, it was so nice that actually the community health aide, Margie, she brought some fish that she had caught from the previous summer, and she brought that and some other things from her own pantry. So that was really nice. So great hospitality.
Mm-hmm. And when you go to the villages, and we're friends off air, so I know I've seen you packing some of your little lunch boxes. What do you pack? What is inside a professional nutritionist's or dietitian's lunchbox?
I always go with the intention that I might be there for a couple of days. So I take probably twice as much food as I actually would need for one day. And I always keep in mind that I might not have access to a stove or a refrigerator or a microwave. I mean, the community health buildings, they have microwaves and refrigerators. But if for some reason those weren't working, or if I was weathered in someplace, I always like to be prepared. So take lots of peanut butter and banana sandwiches, take lots of oatmeal and granola bars and fruits and vegetables, just things that are quick and easy and then don't require any prep.
Right. And I've walked myself into the question of, are you a nutritionist or are you a dietitian?
Okay, let the record show I'm a dietitian. I'm a registered dietitian. Which is a licensed position versus a nutritionist is not a protected or specific profession.
Right. I could call myself a nutritionist.
Yes. Anyone could call themselves a nutritionist.
Good to know.
Yes.
Add that to my resume.
So whenever you're looking to go and meet with a registered dietitian or go to meet with someone about your eating habits, make sure they're a registered dietitian.
Okay. And so, as a dietitian, when you go into the villages or you go into families' homes, what do you advise that they make their meals of? What should you eat?
Well, I'm a big proponent of the MyPlate, and that's something that came out in 2012. And so we used to have the recommendations that were the MyPyramid. So, you know, the grains were on the bottom, the fats were up top, and you know, you had so many servings a day of each food group, or you were supposed to anyway. Now, the USDA has come up with a MyPlate, and so the recommendations are that each meal of the day, half the plate is fruits and vegetables, and then a quarter of the plate consists of protein, and then the final quarter consists of grains, along with having dairy at meals also, whether that's yogurt or milk or cheese. So I think it's a lot easier now to be able to follow, I guess, the recommendations versus how it used to be.
And my understanding is it's pretty difficult to get fresh produce out to the villages. So what kind of ways, how do the village residents kind of get around that?
Well, yeah, definitely having the opportunity to have fresh fruits and vegetables is something that isn't easy to come by in the villages. So I've noticed that a lot of the families buy in bulk. So they have large bags of frozen vegetables or fruit, just because those last longer. You know, and ideally having fresh fruits and vegetables are best, and then frozen and then canned. So having any type of fruits and vegetables is better than nothing. So a lot of the families out in the villages have canned fruits and vegetables. And then through the WIC program, in the boxes, we send out canned fruits and vegetables. But something I have noticed is a lot of the people out in the villages grow their own fruits and vegetables or grow their own herbs. So that definitely helps too.
Yeah, I know that there was a project that some of the villages were involved in where they were kind of starting their own businesses where they could sell to each other, or they're still working it out, it seems. But some of them raise chickens, some of them livestock, and there's a lot of creativity. I know I was speaking with some woman, I'm not sure which village, but she was talking about raising bees and getting honey from them, so that'd be really cool. I know that someone, I can't remember which village, but there is another beekeeper, or several, in Alaska, so it'd be our own island honey, which would be awesome. What is your background like? Like, where, before you came to Alaska with these unique opportunities, where had you gone?
Well, I'm originally from Indiana, and so I did my undergrad at Indiana University and then did my master's at Ball State. And so I did my master's thesis in WIC. Prior to moving to Alaska, I ran a large WIC program in Indiana, and here I am. So I've been on the island a little more than 2 years, and I love it.
So how many years have you been doing WIC as a program?
About 8,
all right,
I would say.
So you're like professional WIC employee now.
All I know is WIC.
We're so lucky to have you. And so how much of WIC, because it seems like you do a lot of different nutritional kinds of things. So how much do you meet with mothers or pregnant women, future mothers, to talk about breastfeeding and that kind of education?
Sure. So when a pregnant mom or a breastfeeding mom who's recently delivered comes in to start receiving WIC benefits, that initial appointment, we talk about everything under the sun, including breastfeeding, and talk about their overall eating habits, food safety, do they have a doctor in town, have they seen a dentist, their tobacco use, so just a wide range of topics. And then each appointment after that gets to be a little bit more specific. So when it comes time for delivery, we've already talked about breastfeeding a number of different times. We've talked about safe sleep or hunger cues of the baby. And as the same thing with the moms who have already delivered, we like to meet with them at least every 3 months. Some of our moms we see every month. So that's something that is up to the decision of the WIC employees and of the moms.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear some of what you tell them. For instance, what are some hunger cues from a baby? I mean, they can't tell you that they're hungry, so.
Right, yeah. So since babies are not able to say, hey, mom, I'm hungry, so I always encourage pregnant or breastfeeding moms to watch for the baby to put their hands in their mouth. That's a good sign that a baby's hungry. Or if they're kind of looking around, we call it a rooting reflex, where they're kind of moving their lips as if they would like to nurse. And if they're kind of looking around the room for something to suck on, that rooting reflex is a good sign that a baby's hungry. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that both with my baby niece and my baby nephew. So now I know what that's all about. So what else do you tell them? Like, what are some of the, for instance, safe sleeping? What would you tell a mother?
Well, safe sleep is something that we promote. And it's just, I guess, a way of how moms need to lay their babies so that they're as safe as possible. So you want to lay your babies on their backs and you want them to lay on a firm surface and not have stuffed animals or sheets or blankets or have loose clothing up around their face that the baby could possibly put in their mouth or that they could roll onto and suffocate. So those are all things that we talk about with our moms.
So what drew you to WIC?
Well, with the WIC program, it's helping a very specialized group of people that kind of have some interesting obstacles. Sometimes our low-income families just are in a constant state of chaos. You know, sometimes finding the next ride to the next doctor's appointment or finding the next meal or finding the way to buy the next set of diapers or to buy school supplies. Just there's a lot of obstacles that you or I might not have to think about. So I always think it's important to have someone in their lives that wants to be able to help them and help get their lives a little bit more settled so that their children can have the best possible upbringing.
And I understand that WIC is doing World Breastfeeding Week.
Yes. So World Breastfeeding Week is August 1st through 7th. So it's next week. And so in honor of World Breastfeeding Week, the WIC program is hosting an event, and it's this Friday, July 28th, from 1 to 3, and it's at the Mill Bay Health Center. So it's in the WIC area of the Mill Bay Health Center, and we're going to have prizes and food and giveaways, nursing bras. So pregnant moms and breastfeeding moms are invited to come, whether you're a WIC participant or not. Just everyone on the island is invited to come and bring their families and just enjoy an afternoon celebrating nursing.
Yeah. Is there like a schedule of activities? Is there a good time for people to show up?
Well, we're going to kind of run it as an open house. So come when you can, leave when you need to, but we'll have food and door prizes throughout. And every mom that comes will be able to go home with a nursing bra and with a breastfeeding goodie bag.
Okay. What are you excited about for the event? Since I'm assuming you'll be there.
Oh, I will definitely be there, as well as Sarah, our other WIC employee. I'm excited just to see the turnout that we have, because out of all the WIC programs in the state, the CANA WIC program, so the one that we have here in Kodiak, has the highest breastfeeding rates of any other program. So we're really into breastfeeding on this island, which is great. But I just like to see people getting out and supporting something as big as breastfeeding. I mean, breastfeeding is just so important. So encouraging everyone to come out and learn and celebrate and support.
Mm-hmm. And what do you mean when you say CANA has the highest breastfeeding rate?
So we have the highest initiation rates in breastfeeding. So the initiation means that after a mom delivers, actually putting the baby to the breast and nursing. So out of all the WIC offices in the state, we have the highest rates, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And so when a mother gives birth, what are the usual options for feeding her baby?
Well, there's always the option to formula feed. We hope that every mom chooses to breastfeed, and research shows that moms who plan delivery and plan their method of feeding during pregnancy are more likely to breastfeed because they plan, you know, that they know what's going to happen and how they want things to go. So that's why we educate moms during pregnancy. So here in Kodiak, the hospital, I don't want to say automatically assumes, but they all hope that the moms are planning on breastfeeding, and so the baby's immediately put up on the mom's chest, and that's when the baby's going to have its first feeding, is within hopefully that first hour to 90 minutes. And here at the Kodiak Hospital, the moms and babies get to room together, which is nice, so they get some extra time to bond, and they're able to see right when their baby's hungry or needs, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Does it matter if a baby breastfeeds within, like, the first day or the first 2 days?
Well, ideally, having them breastfeed as soon as possible after delivery is nice, because our bodies are made to breastfeed. So when after a mom delivers, it kind of needs to be told, okay, so now we're going to start breastfeeding. So the frequency of nursing as well as the initiation is really important to kind of set the groundwork for having a good milk supply. So the sooner the better, and then just kind of feeding your baby on demand. Our bodies are so neat where our bodies know how much milk to make for our babies. So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I've heard that a baby who breastfeeds, they get special benefits from the mother's milk. For instance, when they're sick, I've heard that there's certain things in the milk that helps.
Yes. Yeah. So in our breast milk, there's antibodies and all types of things that help fight off colds and viruses, things that you and I have worked up a whole lifetime to fight against, that if you were and I were to nurse, that we would give that immunity to our babies. And so breastfed babies are less likely to get sick in the first year because they have that extra immunity from their mom.
Mm-hmm. And could you remind us when the event is on Friday? It's this Friday?
Yes, it's this Friday, July 28th from 1 to 3.
All right. And so we have a few minutes left in the show. I believe we have like 8 minutes left. And so WIC is one of those programs from Canada that you get to see in the villages. And Canada also offers a lot of different kinds of programs that are present in the villages. Could you speak a little bit about those, Brian?
In the villages specifically?
Yeah, in the villages that go out and do outreach to the separate villages.
Well, you talked with Matthew about that before. He does a lot of prevention work out there, particularly with drugs, suicide, or kind of issues around the entire state, especially in Native populations in the small rural areas too. So that's a very important initiative for Canada, is just to keep everybody's well-being just through positive interactions, like the Using Key Challenge we talked about before. And there's similar things with the other villages too, just trying to get everybody together, elders and kids, and doing some positive activities, get some great role models out there.
Yeah, and I know you guys offer so many programs. It's just you touch every part of the community, from cultural events to like to health. And you guys are trying to do more outreach as far as exercise goes?
You're right. We do. Well, we have our wellness center, which is a great facility for our beneficiaries. Veterans get to use it as well. And we're doing some videos lately with the wellness center. Our physical trainer, she's pretty great. And she posts these every week on Facebook on the wellness center site. Everybody can check that out. And it's, like this week, she did all exercises that anybody can do without equipment. And we're trying to motivate the entire community, really, to start exercising, whether it's outdoors, indoors, just hiking, and thinking of all the different ways they can get physically active, especially during these summer months. try to get a jump started now. So in the winter, maybe you can do the indoor activities. And then we also participate in community events like Relay for Life is happening this weekend. And that's kind of a great partnership. We're one of 16 teams, I believe. And we've got the entire 24 hours mapped out as far as different people manning our station and walking around. So that's going to be exciting. That starts at noon on Saturday.
Yeah, what is Relay for Life?
Relay for Life is a huge fundraiser. It's all across the country to raise money for cancer, both research and also to support people that have cancer and their families, trying to help them get through it all. Relay for Life is a 24-hour walk around Woody Way. What is it called? Woody Way Park. Woody Way Ball Field. That's what it is. And there will be booths there with all the different organizations, people supporting, and just walking a huge loop around the track over and over for 24 hours. And there will be costumes. There's music. I believe there's going to be some live performers, maybe DJ will show up. So it's just going to be a big party. At midnight between Saturday and Sunday, there's this lighting ceremony in remembrance of people that have passed from cancer. And I haven't been to that, but I've been told several times that that's an amazing, like, emotional time. Mm. So I would recommend people check out Relay for Life.
Yeah.
Come support it too. Donate as well. You could donate to any of the participants. So yeah, we've got that going on. And Women's Wellness Retreat is coming in a few weeks here. That's an annual tradition that Canada's been part of. Along with Shunak and the Kodiak Women's Resources Crisis Center, the three of us partner on a weekend at Woody Island for women to learn about wellness, to be with each other. They talk about stories, share their past accomplishments, if they've survived any sort of trauma, whether it's health-related or emotional. So it's just a great place, a safe, healing activity.
Mm-hmm. It looks like we just have like a minute or two left. Is there anything upcoming for Canada that you wanted to mention besides Friday's event?
We also have a genealogy workshop, which is pretty fascinating. Marty Murray, who's a local researcher and historian, she's going to be explaining how you can help figure out your family tree, especially if you are a Kodiak area native or even of a long-term, generational Alaskan. She will show you the local resources like the museums and churches to find out who your family is.
All right. Well, Stephanie and Brian, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.